Hello! If you're listening to us, you love movies. And we want to send you to your next movie.
We want you to suggest which movie we should feud next. That's it.
When we feud it, and trust us, we will feud it. We try to get to all our suggestions. The person who suggested it gets 2 free movie tickets on Book My Show.
Just message us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Muncha Movies and let us know which movie you want us to feud.
It doesn't matter if you're listening in 2001 or 2021. Just reach out to us. And then have fun at the movies on us.
And now, on to the episode.
In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, 2 guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. 1 film, 2 opinions, 1 coin, 2 sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Bidur.
And I'm Vikram.
What's up, Vikram?
Nothing much, dude.
So, Vikram, why don't you tell the good folk, our pleasant listeners, what we're doing here today?
Surely, man, surely. So we take a movie from the IMDb Top 250, toss a coin, heads argues for, tails argues against.
Wow, that's not complicated, is it?
No, I'm getting better at this.
And yet everybody always asks me questions about what we do here.
Well, we also get asked of what is podcast, so can't blame them.
Okay, well, if you're listening to this podcast, just know that we feud and you get to decide who you think won. And the movie we're feuding this week, well, what can I say, Vikram? The saga continues and our feud saga continues.
Yeah, man, these episodes are draining a lot from me. So
why is that?
Well, it's I don't like debating Star Wars with people. I'm a fan overall.
Oh, by the way, to be clear, the movie we're feuding, Star Wars, Episode 6, Return of the Jedi.
Yes. So coming back to it, I don't like debating Star Wars.
Because you're a super fan.
I'm a Star Wars fan, yeah, and it's pretty clearly established. So
and
you
love this movie?
No, not saying anything about that right now.
You just
now.
Said no. Do you not love this movie?
No, I said no about I don't want to say anything about it. Just why are you doing this?
Because the coin hasn't been tossed and I know you'll squirm and not give me an opinion.
Well, okay, you were right. I didn't. So can we move on?
Okay, we may move on. Why don't you just tell me the last time you watched this movie? Because it's been a while for me.
Over the course of the last 3 years, once I watched it.
Which is your standard
routine. It's more or less every 3 years I'll watch the original trilogy.
Again, you must love these movies.
I love Star Wars.
Okay.
The universe.
And I have to say, since we feuded the previous 2 movies, I've been itching to watch this movie, but I've been waiting for this feud. So I'm excited. So why don't we get to it?
Yeah, please, let's do it.
So I'll be tossing the coin, and heads means I argue for Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. And tails means I argue against. Let's go. And it's heads. Why are you laughing? I should laugh. You're against
the Return of the Jedi, which is exactly what I wanted.
Bull.
It's my least favorite movie of the trilogy. If you comb through our episodes and in general,
Vikram,
our
at least have the decency to pause like 2 seconds before you flip a switch and start hating on the movie.
What? Why was I flipped the other side? I said I love Star Wars. I very clearly said that because I don't want to show my dislike for this movie. And once again, man, the coin's my bird.
You left yourself an out, and now you're like making the most of it by pretending you hate it. This is an awesome movie. It's the end of an awesome saga. If this movie sucked, we wouldn't remember Star Wars in the way we do. So I pretty much won the feud already, but I'm willing to watch it.
Everything you said counts against to what you actually mean. Let's just move on, man. Let's go watch the movie. And I'm just saying right now, you're screwed. You're just screwed.
Yeah. Let's figure it out. Let's go watch the movie.
Just as I suspected, this movie is just so bad.
No, it's not.
Dude, I never liked Return of the Jedi when compared to A New Hope and Empire. And before watching the movie, I was like, okay, I already don't like it. This is easy for me. I'm just going to lean into what I don't like about it. And I watched it with a new lens. And there's just so much more to not like. Like, after dissecting this movie, you truly realize that it doesn't work as a movie.
Was the new lens that you were forced to be against it? Because I watched this movie with a new lens of my own, which was, oh my God, this movie is so underrated. People just hate on the Ewoks, but this movie ended a saga in a way no other movie has. Name a third movie that has ended a saga like this.
Matrix?
See, you're making my point. Matrix very much did not. It just crashed and burned. Whereas this Star Wars saga is rested on Return of the Jedi.
Lord of the Rings?
I don't like Lord of the Rings.
Clearly, very, very, very conveniently, you don't like Lord of the Rings.
Was it good? Was Return of the King good? It probably copied Return of the Jedi. The names are basically the same.
Except it was written like 40 years, 50 years before that actually happened. Ooh, who copied the name then? Interesting.
I think Tolkien copied the name.
Tolkien? Like, well, time travel?
Yeah. Well, actually, he was going to call it Revenge of the Jedi, right, Lucas? But revenge was too hardcore a word for a Jedi.
Well, it was Return of the Jedi. Then, like, pre-production, they changed it to Revenge. He thought it was too harsh. He went back to Return of the Jedi. Typical flip-flopping, Lucas. We've seen it before.
I'm going to get a poster that says Revenge of the Jedi. You know, like a real nerd. Yeah. I now love this movie. It's so good. It's so good. I forgot how good it was.
Okay, can we stop being vague and actually talk about the movie?
You know, we can. I'll give you some concessions. I'm not saying like it's brilliant, but like I have my weak sore spots with all of Star Wars. Like a lot of it's too cartoony for me. Mm-hmm. There's too much C-3PO in every Star Wars movie. Mm-hmm. And this movie is no different. Mm-hmm. But like the ending of the saga and the ending, you know what I love is that the emotional stakes of this movie determine the stakes of the galaxy. Now, that's some high art, high commerce shit right there.
Well, it's great that you devised that sentence, firstly, purely out of zero feelings, because I know you don't feel that way.
Vikram, I searched my feelings and I know it to be true.
Yeah. Also, all of the stuff that you said had already been established. It's not like the movie establishes it. It just tries to carry it forward, although very, very meekly.
Dude, Luke, I am your father. No, I'm sorry. The line is, no, I am your father from Darth Vader would not mean as much if it wasn't for this movie. And the fact that Lucas was in charge of the story and the director, but they framed this whole movie around the redemption of Darth Vader, that's actually kind of genius.
It's very poorly done, in fact. I know they tried to do it, but they didn't come out that way. Can we just dive into the movie?
Okay.
I think you can just keep talking about just generalized feelings that you have about this movie, but I can prove by the end of the feud that it's not about this movie, it's about the trilogy and how it stitches together.
I'm willing to wager that you cannot. And I will actually precede you talking about the movie and just say one word that's going to win me the feud. Emperor. Well, that's my one word. I meant to say two words.
Okay.
But the Emperor is enough.
All right. And also, just before we dive into the movie, I just want to make it clear, because I complain about this a lot with you. I'm not going to be doing any nitty-gritties here, because I don't even need to.
Yeah.
This is okay. Just going to be broad strokes, movie, plot points, and all of that stuff. And that's more than enough to help me through the line.
As Palpatine said, do it.
Okay, so to begin with, this is actually something before watching the movie I thought I wouldn't need to touch upon too much, because my perception was that it doesn't happen for that long, but it actually does. The whole Jabba sequence is 25 minutes.
Dude, Han Solo was frozen in carbonite. They had to go rescue him. The whole world was waiting to see what happens to Han Solo.
Well, that's conjecture. And it's not necessary, right? Firstly, Han Solo was written in after pre-production. They hadn't finalized whether he's coming back for this movie after pre-production.
Right? That's why they froze him in the first place, right?
That's why they froze him in the first place, because he only had a 2-contract deal. They didn't even know. They weren't intending to bring him back. Then one of the producers like, oh, we should bring him back. And George Lucas is like, he'll never come back, because Indiana Jones had already happened. He was a superstar. And somehow you got managed to convince him. And then actually, like, even Harrison Ford thought that he should die mid-movie trying to save his friends. And George Lucas is like, yeah, I can't sell dead Han Solo's toys, so I'm not doing that.
George Lucas is a genius.
He's a marketing and, yeah, money-making genius. But as a filmmaker, nope.
Entertainment creating. He didn't make this film, by the way. Entertainment creating.
Kind of did.
Toy selling.
Yeah.
CGI creating genius.
Yeah. Work in advertising, bro. Make short films with funny toys. Like, that's literally what this movie is. So, coming back to that whole sequence of Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
Now, this is the first movie which actually, we have a lot of exposure to Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, I thought you were going to say exposure to Leia. In which case, I agree. Because Bikini Leia, winning.
Oh, that was a positive? Seriously? Metal Bikini?
Winning.
What is winning here?
Winning for the movie. Winning for all 80s teens ever.
Okay.
Winning for all Star Wars fans. And Carrie Fisher, may she rest in peace. Winning for us. You know, the princess was too masculine a character as a means of showing how badass she was. So now it was like, yeah, she can show some skin and still be badass.
Sure. Okay. 2 points there. I'm a Star Wars fan. I'm not winning. I'm not getting the winning feeling here. Secondly, masculinity, I kind of agree with, but this happened only because Carrie Fisher complained that her clothes were too long. That's the only reason they put metal bikini in there.
So it was from her ichha. Usually they're being forced into it.
Of showing skin, yeah.
Although she did complain about, like, she was forced into it, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know the contrasting reports, but yeah, apparently just...
Maybe Lucas was like, Carrie, just come out of the dark side. Come, like, you know, let me make you like a goddess to teens and adults everywhere.
Okay, yeah, moving on.
Bikini Leia, are you hating on Bikini Leia?
I kind of am. I don't see this whole Leia fascination as a sex symbol. I've never gotten it.
Didn't you watch this movie? This is where this comes from.
Yeah, of course I watched this movie. That's what we're talking about right here.
A prisoner, metal bikini.
Yeah, can
hair.
We move on? Because okay. That's like one scene.
Dude, what about Jabba?
Yeah, what about Jabba? What is that green glob of gooey shit?
He's a talking turd. That's scary.
Exactly. And you know, so they show him like one scene in A New Hope.
They don't. It's only in the re-releases.
Okay, so great. So this is the first time Jabba is introduced as a character, but mentioned in the both movies, in the preceding two movies, because like, I need to go back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He'll kill me. So there's this whole sinister, menacing thing of built up to Jabba.
And it's a side gag.
And that's Jabba?
Yeah, it's a side gag. And he still ends up being powerful. And then Leia... skin showing, bikini wearing, takes back the power and just chokes him to death with the chains.
So weak.
It's like Django Unchained. So Leia weak. Unchained.
Leia's the one who kills Jabba also by the end of it. That entire sequence has no part to play in the story except that Han's rescued.
Dude, the first part of New Hope has no part to play in the story.
Yeah.
Just apart from establishing the droids.
Yeah.
And the first part of Empire, the 80-80 sequence, cool as it is, has no part to play in the story.
Of course it does. That's why the Rebel Alliance is fleeing.
Oh, it's just like because of this something happened, but like you could cover that with the scroll. So that's just a Star Wars thing at this point.
It's way too long. This is the longest sequence of a movie where it has no part to play.
I think the droids getting lost and in the machine and whatever, you know, it's also so Star Wars.
Also Boba Fett.
It's Boba, firstly.
What the hell?
What do you mean, what the hell?
What the hell is that?
He's not better than he is in Empire in terms of being
useful. I agree. And how does he die?
It's like hilarious.
It's not hilarious.
By
dude.
Mistake.
You're laughing at the movie at this point, not with the movie. Yeah.
The thing is, he got so hyped up in Empire. He's so badass. He can talk up to Vader and stuff. And then somebody hits his jetpack.
A half-blind Han Solo.
A half-blind
Han
Solo.
Who's like, oh, where's Boba Fett? Boba Fett's here?
And then he goes into a Sarlacc and he's going to be chewed for the next 1,000 years. And then there's all these legends that he actually escaped the Sarlacc pit somehow.
How did he become a myth?
I don't know.
Get it.
Star Wars is just that big.
Because this movie should take away from that. Like, his characterization, his portrayal is so weak. Especially that shot where Luke's fighting people, that's the main subject of the shot. And in the background, you see a Boba Fett just flying across the screen, hitting the ship wall and then going down. How is this thing like so famous and popular? How did he end up becoming so popular that he was such a big factor, or his father was, or his image was such a big factor of the prequels?
I don't know. But can we move on from the first act? It's just fun. It's for kids. Doesn't matter.
All right, sure. I mean, I don't get it.
All that matters.
It is for kids. You're completely right. It's for kids. It's business oriented. It's meant to sell stuff outside of this movie as well.
All that matters part worked, yeah. Is that Han is back and Luke is now a Jedi and he's dressing in all black.
He's not technically,
but he's dressing in all black. He's confident.
Yeah, this foreshadowing. Oh, he's going to go to the dark side. Black gloves, black robe,
yeah.
Everything.
And he's learned how to use his like fake arm. He's become one limb wise. He's 1/4 his father now. No, 1/3 actually. Darth Vader has one limb. Limb-wise, he's 33% on his way to becoming Darth Vader.
Right.
And he's a little confident dude, you know? So that's it. That's what the first act's all about. Nothing matters, dude. You're not letting me talk about the Emperor, bro.
We'll get to it.
We'll get to the Emperor
when the Emperor comes. How about that?
I want to get to it now. I want to do the Stewie impression from Family Guy. Something dark science.
Yeah. See, that was funny. They should have done that. It wouldn't have mattered. Okay, we move on. Let's move on. I'm done with Jabba. I don't want to talk about Jabba anymore. Let's talk about something even stupider.
Okay.
The forest moon of Endor.
What? Oh, if you're jumping to the third act, I'm going to go full Vader Emperor Luke.
You want to talk about the second act? Because there's nothing for you there, bro.
Why?
Okay, go for it.
Wait, what's in the second
Luke's
act?
Going back to Yoda?
There's Yoda. There's the death of Yoda. Yoda, 800-year-old Yoda, master dies. 900, sorry. Yeah. And then, man, come on, Alec Guinness makes another appearance. What's the Star Wars original trilogy?
Yeah, man, like
him?
Some serious acting there. The guy took all of one day to shoot his entire sequence. It was brilliant.
And then he goes like...
And everything that...
So technically, I didn't lie to you.
Yeah.
And he might as well saying, so technically, Lucas didn't lie to the audience.
Exactly. And then it's just like, it makes no sense. Like everything... That's that you hold meaning to in this movie was written as an afterthought. Like, no, even the Yoda sequence, they didn't have plans to have Yoda in there. Nothing. Like, Yoda is struggling so hard to tell him that Leia's his sister that ends up speeding up his death, which eventually he could have gotten from Obi-Wan later on, the scene after. It makes no sense, dude.
The thing is, man, I think retroactively adding stuff usually doesn't work, but I just think the Emperor angle works so well here, because suddenly Vader becomes a gray character from being the outright villain in the first and second movies. And I just think it's brilliant that the story becomes about the redemption of Anakin Skywalker. Like, who would have seen that coming? Also, have you heard of this thing called the Machete Order in terms of how to watch these movies?
Yeah, like the authentic pronunciation there, by the way.
The Machete, yeah. Well, it actually might be the Machete Order, considering it's not referring to the Spanish thing. But the Machete Order, I mean, I guess it's just talking about to watch the Star Wars movies as the saga of Anakin Skywalker, which I believe you're supposed to skip one. And you're supposed to do 4, 5, find out that Anakin is that Vader is the father, and then go back and watch 2, 3 as the story of Anakin, and then watch 6 as the redemption. And I think that's actually the right way to think about this movie. It's just the culmination of this whole saga, and it relies on the stakes of Vader.
Interesting.
Brilliant.
Is it called the Machete Order? Because then you feel like taking up a machete and just carving yourself out.
I thought you were going to say much worse about a certain part of yourself.
No. Just the inclusion of 2 and not 1 that just would make me want to kill myself. And then the last movie I end up watching is this movie. It's just like downhill from 1 and 2. Also, this this interesting point popped up in my head. The planet Moon of Endor is in the second act. They have bloody Ewoks for 2/3 of this movie.
Oh, that's true.
Because of the whole this cruiser sequence, them establishing like a perimeter around the base.
Dude, green screen, land cruiser. Come on, man. That was revolutionary for the time.
Sure, yeah. I mean, a lot of stuff was revolutionary for the time. But I mean, it's kind of established from the first two movies as well. It was not like it was like mind-blowingly different or something.
And there's nothing in the new movies that's revolutionary, you know?
Are you using that as a basis of your argument?
This movie kept upping the game from Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back. You know,
I disagree with that. What did it up?
It upped the final space battle.
No.
Come on, dude. The trench run in the first movie, A New Hope, looks like it's my Hot Wheels collection and I've put a camera and I'm like using miniatures.
And this looks barely better. It's fine. That's what's supposed to happen, like evolution of technology and stuff.
In 6 years, evolved the technology. That's why I'm giving them the credit.
Fine. ILM did a great job, one first movie starting and even to what they're doing right now. But also that entire space battle sequence, the Death Star is supposed to be 460% bigger than Death Star 1. Does it look like it? Not at all. You know what did become 460% bigger? The path to the central core reactor, so a ship can now fly into it.
Yeah, so?
Brilliant, yeah, brilliant.
Listen.
They just made it easier to destroy the Death Star without making it look like it was a bigger Death Star. Why is there a Death Star in this movie, dude?
After The Force Awakens, you can't complain about the Death Star in this movie.
Why are we talking about The Force Awakens?
Because it's retroactively made us pissed at the idea of using the Death Star again. But when they did it this time, it made sense because the Death Star was such a cool weapon. It made sense the Empire would build it again.
I'm sorry, I disagree. I've hated it before The Force Awakens.
Lies.
What do you mean lies?
Lies.
Okay, back that up.
Well, I just think like, until the Force Awakens came out, nobody complained that, oh, there's again a Death Star. Oh, why is there a Death Star again? It was just like, it makes sense. A planet-killing weapon. This is the best thing the Empire can do. So they keep trying to build one.
It's clearly not the best thing they can do. It's their worst weapon.
It makes sense.
Where's Data? There's no Data study here.
No, it was like, fool me once. Okay, we made a mistake. There was like that Galen Erso like weakness in the first Death Star.
Okay.
So let's try again. And this time, they can't help if some little teddy bears help them. You know, if it wasn't for the teddy bears recognizing C-3PO as a deity, despite it being against his programming, then none of this would have worked out. And how precarious was the rescuing of the galaxy, Vikram? You're appreciating the finer points.
I will help you appreciate my side of the story also. Also, talking about the teddy bears, man, they couldn't come up with a better song, dude. It's... I want to move on from Ewoks because they're a substantial part of this movie, it's sickening to watch them.
That's too hardcore a word, Vikram. It's not sickening.
I'm watching Star Wars. I'm not watching Teletubbies here, dude.
You can't say I'm watching Star Wars when like the end of the saga ends with 2/3 Ewoks, like you said. Ewoks and Star Wars are part of each other.
No, I disagree. It's Palpatine, Vader, Luke, Leia, Han Solo. All of that is Star Wars, not Ewoks.
I want to hear Palpatine talk about Ewoks. teddy bears, Ewoks. And now the Ewoks will die.
You know the brief for Ewoks was Native American teddy bears? I'm not kidding. I read this.
Listen, you know what? I actually like the Ewoks. I always have because I watched these movies as a kid. I can't help it. They went for kids. And I'll tell you what. I used to do this bit about like the saddest moment in movies or something. And I have to say, it was for me, it was Sophie choosing between her two kids and Sophie's Choice. Followed by Mufasa falling to his death, like paws up, looking towards Scar in Lion King. And the third one was that Ewok dying and his little Ewok buddy trying to wake him or her up and then just failing and just feeling sad. I'm tearing up talking about it right now, I swear to God.
So wait, the actual joke part of this bit is that you're... Ewok bit sound serious?
No, I used to just allude to like the three like saddest moments in movies that I've ever seen.
It's a reason it's a bit and it's a joke because it works really well as a joke. You can't say it's a bit and actually try to convince me that you're serious right now.
George Lucas made me moan about a teddy bear mourning about his teddy bear friend dying. Oh, come on, God, man. Dude. Where's your heart?
My heart doesn't feel that way anymore, man. I've grown older and it's very plain to see what George Lucas did here. He didn't want to continue with the dynasty. He just wanted to make sure that this was going to be his last movie, which earns the most money he can make sure it earns. So
what's
he made
wrong
it,
with that?
It's not a good movie. It's a great commercial for toys or whatever it is.
You've just gone over to the dark side. All Star Wars movies are commercials for toys. He can't help it.
No, he is the only one who can help it. What are you talking about? He's the one who orchestrated all of that to happen. Okay, you know what? Let's talk about what you seemingly want to get to ASAP, which is
something, dark side.
Yeah, I agree. That is the best part of the movie. The whole Vader, Luke, and Emperor sequences. That's the best part of this movie.
The fact that Luke goes to the Emperor to actually redeem his father.
Yeah.
The ball's in that kid, bro.
The ball's in that kid. Yeah, he's
the
a true
ball's
Jedi.
In that kid.
Yeah, proves himself that he proves to the world that he's a true Jedi. He has no fear. He sees good in his father, and he wants to get his father back to the Jedi.
Before
the good
you
side.
Say these things, you have to say I have a concession, and then say that.
No, I don't have a concession because that's what this movie truly needed to drive to. That was the conclusion of the entire original trilogy arc of Luke and Vader. Fine, they threw in the Emperor. I think the Emperor is a great sinister character. Works really well. But you need to show that for more than 10 minutes of the bloody movie.
Minutes is a lot.
It's a 2-hour, 10-minute movie. And 10 minutes is the only part that matters.
And Batman vs. Superman, they only fought for 10 minutes.
Is Batman vs. Superman a good movie?
No, but I like the 10 minutes, you know?
Okay, yeah. So that 10 minutes should have been more, right?
No, I don't think so.
They should have shown more of like the dark side.
It's not a one-act play, Vikram. Like it needs to cover a lot of ground.
Fine, the second, the other two acts also need to have an impact. All right, this movie has three climaxes sort of working in tandem, right?
Yeah,
there's a space battle. There's the battle of the Endor trying to destabilize the shield.
Yeah.
And then there's everything that's happening within. So the conflict between... The first two climaxes didn't matter, if you think about it. No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
No, they didn't.
If the Emperor had died but the Death Star hadn't, then there would still be the Empire.
There was still the Empire. Nothing changed, especially after we saw The Force Awakens, right?
Well, there was a First Order. It's different.
Let's
not talk about The Force Awakens as it relates to what happened after this movie.
So that's my point. If Vader was gone, Emperor Palpatine was gone, they really didn't... The destruction of the Death Star, the space battle, the Endor sequence, none of that mattered. You know why the Endor sequence didn't matter? Because it was an afterthought. Harrison Ford didn't have a part to play in this movie when production started. And they're like, okay, I'll write him in. So what do I do? Oh, isko chal Endor ka kuch sequence bana de. Fine. Great place to include toys. Sorted. Money
I actually
made.
Think Han Solo didn't have much of a part to play despite the Endor sequence.
Yeah, he didn't.
Yeah, so let's move on. Let's talk about the Emperor. Let's talk about the final scene.
Okay.
Dude... The best music John Williams has made for this movie, and it doesn't even get spoken about as like a traditional Star Wars music. It's the final scene when they're going along the tracking shot along the ship,
right.
And Luke just decides to lose it because Vader mentions Leia.
Right.
And then he just bang, 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 just like goes at Vader and eventually cuts his hand off.
Yeah.
And the premise that has been established that the Emperor wants him to do this. Yes. Yes.
Strike him.
Yeah. Strike him down and take your place next to me. And then before he pulls back... That whole sequence gives me the chills, man. It's so good. It's the best lightsaber duel in all of Star Wars.
Highly disagree with that. Just coming back to the score point, John Williams, great as always, except And this is not his fault. It's the movie's fault. His scoring of the Endor sequences and all of that was weak because he had to go with this playful sort of Ewok thing.
Now that we're talking about the thing.
So the score in that sequence, I agree with. Best lightsaber duel in all of Star Wars.
Best.
Are you mad?
Emotions determine a duel. Not like...
Bro, we moved on to good CGI and good like ways to show special effect. It cannot be the best.
The best lightsaber duel in all of Star Wars is in Rebels, Twin Suns. With Darth Maul and Obi-Wan.
Sure.
And it's the same thing. It's the emotions and the underlying stakes. And I think that duel is just so cool that the emotions, even though they're not as good as this, is the best. But like this one, it's the end of a saga. The saga ends with this duel. That's what matters. It's him using the dark side against his father, just the way his father did to become who he is. And then holding back at the last moment and being better than his father.
Oh, so you're only talking about that 5-6 second sequence when he goes crazy after he mentions Leia. That's when he cuts his hand off.
Yeah, that's just the best like lightsaber sequence in all of Star Wars.
See, that again, you just...
In the original trilogy at least, obviously, right?
Yeah, so that's not a pro point. The movie's like... It's like you were saying the Return of the Jedi has the best CGI amongst the original trilogy. No shit, yeah. Things get better over time. They're learning. The best duel, according to me... The best duel, according to me, is Obi-Wan and General Grievous from 2.
Yeah, you told me that, but that's just like 4-on-1. You're just like a kid, you're like, oh my god, 4 lightsabers.
You're doing
one.
Like, what are they doing here? Except like, what he's like somersaulting over him, then they turn around and they're like, bang, 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 bang.
No, it's black.
Oh, he throws the lightsabers. Is that what you're talking about?
It's not that, Vikram. It's an immersive experience. It's black on black, green on red, tracking shot, music escalating, him fighting for Leia, letting the dark side in. He's just like, he's almost about to fulfill his destiny towards the dark side and he pulls back. How are you not on the same page?
It's very clearly because I don't believe what you're saying. You know, a funny part about that, about the sequence is that, you know how they keep showing the Emperor's chair moving? Like, it just turns on its own whenever he wants to face someone.
Yeah.
And presumably, like, it's like the Emperor, he can move
force,
shit.
Yeah.
It's actually the actor who's playing the Emperor shuffling his feet. They try to do like a mechanized motor and in tests it worked. And then when they started shooting, it didn't work out. So he actually told him, listen, just shuffle your feet a little bit. So I really want to see like a full frame of that shot with his feet moving. Then he turns and he's like, bring me to him. Hilarious.
Man, speaking of the actor, Ian McDormand, I think his name is.
Muck some shit, yeah.
Wow. Wow. He's the best.
I like him.
Prequels,
I like him.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, him and
I don't know his name. Shoot me.
What a non-fan you are. But the fact that he was playing someone much older than him in The Emperor under all that makeup,
right,
which allowed him to play his right age in the build-up to becoming the Emperor
that
in the prequels,
well, yeah.
Amazing, dude.
You think that's why George Lucas waited 20 years to do the prequels?
Maybe just waiting.
Like,
for
let's
Ian.
Make sure Palpatine ages the right way.
Pop quiz: what's Palpatine's first name?
I know this.
Hint: Neelkant.
Neelkant.
Yeah, it's Sheev.
Oh yeah, Sheev Palpatine. I remember now. But fine, man. Like the character was great. They should have actually had more and more of that side of the story because it's so important. It just to me, Return of the Jedi was. I can't find a better word than lazy effort from
How
George Lucas
you?
Because he
you don't
just,
believe that.
No, I know so because I've read so many like different accounts here. George Lucas apparently just wanted to end the saga, spend more time with his family. He figured out a way to do it by maximizing profits, and also like they had no plans of in the original. Like Gary Kurtz, one of the producers, he left because in for this movie because he didn't agree with what George Lucas was doing. He was just making sure the storylines all got stitched up together so that the movie, the saga ended with this movie. They had no plans of Leia being the sister.
I think that was clear in Empire when they were making out.
Yes, I agree with that too. And he just made sure Leia was the sister so that the whole Luke, Leia, Vader thing just kind of stitched together. The Skywalker saga ended at a high point there, presumably.
That's what most movie making is. What is he going to do? End like Return of the King without them winning?
No, that's the whole point. If you have plans for a 3-arc movie and if you have a story plotline sort of script for that 3-plot movie, then do it. But he didn't. They didn't from the beginning. He just woke up and he's like, yeah, this is going to be the last movie. I'm done. So how can I make that happen?
I think you secretly love this movie.
Why?
And to quote
what have I said that makes you think so?
I think it's like the way Luke knew that Darth Vader was redeemable. You know, your thoughts betray you, Vikram.
Are you...
I know you have good inside you.
Okay.
And also to quote the Emperor,
mm-hmm.
If you will not be turned, you will be destroyed.
With blue lightning.
Yeah, with blue lightning. Hey, Force Lightning, first time in this movie. How mm-hmm. exciting.
Yeah, okay.
What's your problem, man? Force Lightning is awesome.
They kind of established that more in the prequel, so I see where it comes from. But in that actual moment, because he just sort of shows it, And like Luke's just like Mark Hamill bad acting. We're not even going to talk about that. Pretends that he's getting hurt. But then Vader picks him up and throws him over, and Vader's literally about to die the next scene. It didn't really come across as that powerful.
They do show a glimpse of Vader's skeleton.
I'm sorry if I didn't catch a glimpse of a frame in...
When the Emperor's lightning... You know my favorite part of this whole thing when Vader picks him up? Because I know people think it's comical. Like, to me, the scene holds up despite this. Is that... His lightning continues to shoot out of his arms.
Yeah, and he's frozen, he's actually. His hands are frozen in the same position. So he's just doing that. It's not like... Are they showing his old age all of a sudden? That he's like frozen because of arthritis or something? That he can't move his arms? I don't get it.
And then Vader catches a full blast and you see his skeleton for a moment. I think, you know what happened? The suit amplified the effects of the lightning.
Oh, right, like an antenna?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Like a copper ball conductor. Like a Tesla experiment.
Right. Does that help you make like... your peace with the scene, because I'm fine with you doing that. Yeah.
And then the Emperor goes down the shaft, and you know, it was such a great ending, but unfortunately he might come back in some way, which is so stupid.
He is coming back. J.J. Abrams confirmed.
Lisai. But at least in 1983, the Emperor died in a glorious, glorious down the shaft death.
All right. Okay. Since you feel that strongly, I don't clearly. Vader can't make it to the ship because he's
done. Yeah. He's redeemed. He's done.
Oh, he's done.
He's in pain all the time, Vikram. You know that.
James Earl Jones came out with an interview after the movie. He said, yeah, I don't believe him.
What?
That he was lying.
That he's dead?
No, that he was lying that he's good now. He's still like a Sith.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, no. Everything about this movie makes no sense. It's just more to add to it.
Oh, shut up. This movie is awesome and Star Wars would not be the same without it. And that's that.
It's not dying, dude.
And that wraps up this week's episode of Film Feud. Thank you for listening. And now we feuded, and you, our listeners, get to decide who you think won.
You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Muncha Movies, and let us know who you think won there.
You can also find us on our website, munchamovies.com, or you can find us on YouTube and just leave your thoughts in the comments.
And please don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you guys get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, and more.
Until next week.
Bye-bye.